time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and boy, it's a nice morning in Marion and everywhere you're listening, I'm sure. It is going to warm up considerably today. We could have a high all the way up to 92. How about that? Yeah. And so, today, they're getting all ready for the big drive-in, or wings and wheels, yes, at the airport. In fact, everybody's out there now. I think a lot of the food trucks have come, getting all set up. And, of course, the P-51 Mustang on television this morning on Channel 28, they had a live reporter at the airport, so that helps. And tonight they have the big reception with food from all around the world, and that should be a dandy. And I suppose there's a ticket or two left for that. And let me see what else is happening today. Well, if you can get by with the heat, that's fine. There could be, like they say, the pop-up thunderstorm, maybe here and there sometime later today, and mainly because of the heat and an approaching cool front. It will cool down to a high of around 80 degrees tomorrow, and that would be just perfect. 80 and dry. I know we need some water, too, on our gardens. Maybe that will happen yet today. Okay, and I should be hearing from one of our people involved with the drive-in fly-in. Louisa White is due to call today. She has something to do with the Black Hawk helicopters and so forth, and so it'll be interesting to see what her story is going to be. Later on today, I'll be talking to Dustin Smith. He's with the Marines, and he's also a drone operator. You know, the ones that sit in this country and operate drones as they fly in the combat zones. Yeah, that would be quite a job. To sit at sit at a desk in America and you're guiding a drone, a pilotless aircraft that's loaded with ammunition, and you're guiding that from thousands of miles away. I guess that's a good example of modern electronics or digitronics or whatever you like to call it. All right, it's now 10:17, and we're not hearing yet from Louisa White. So maybe we'll do a trivia, and I've got the usual trivia prizes today. The Wilds, the Zoo, and an oil change with Standard Oil. Standard Oil used to mean Ohio. I'm talking about Standard Oil, the regular oil, not synthetic. Okay, and you know, I've got 50 some thousand miles on my car, and I've only had the oil change once, or twice. I don't know, but it goes a lot longer with synthetic. But you have to have an engine that's geared up to use synthetic oil. And synthetic oil is much more expensive. Woo, wow. Yeah, it's over. Some of it is at least $10 a quart, unless you get it on sale. Some is higher, up to maybe $12, $13 a quart. Okay, so in trivia today, I'm bringing up some things I did last year at, before I, you know, sit down and come up with a whole batch of new things. It's because now we have more listeners than we've ever had before. So we've had, we do now have a lot of people who didn't hear me ask these questions a year ago. Got it? Okay. The first trivia question today, name one of the oldest editors of the Marion Star. Yeah, and this was back in the 70s and 80s, the editor of the Marion Star. And it was like two different names. His first name and last name, his first name is not associated with first names generally, but here it is. He had two names. I mean, two last names. Got it? Any of you that were around at that time, there was Jack Maxwell. He was editor of the Star before this particular man. This man was a very nice person, too, and lived quite a long time. I suppose he's passed away by now. What was his name? Editor of the Marion Star. You know, that everything I mention, I've been around for such a long time. I think I told this maybe a couple of times before, that at one time I had a part-time job. I worked on the radio like I'm doing now, and then I would go home and change clothes maybe and go to work in a machine shop. And the machine shop had a contract with the Marion Star for any repairs necessary to the press, the big machine that printed the Marion Star. Well, there comes a problem, and I'm on duty, and I'm sent to the Marion Star to repair their printing press. And when I walked in, of course, everybody knew who I was. What's he doing here? And I climbed up on the press. I knew what was wrong and made repairs and left. And I often wonder what those people thought. Here's this guy they hear on radio, and he's up on top of our press working on it. And that's just one of those things in life, you know, adds a little bit of color or experience or whatever. I've had a lot of those. And recently, when I was up to the Milan Melon Festival in Milan, Ohio, that brought back a bunch of memories, too, because I used to work on a truck that ground corn into feed for the animals. And every 2 weeks or so, we would spend 2 days in the Norwalk in Milan area grinding corn. And my job, I was quite young then, was to shovel all these corn cribs into our mobile grinder. And I would work all day shoveling and shoveling. A lot of times I would shovel rats. They'd jump out of my shovel. Oh, you know, corn cribs usually had a lot of rats. But, when I went to the Milan Melon Festival, that brought back memories of those years. And that was back in the 40s. Boy, oh boy. Yep. Milan, the Melon Festival, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. They had different types of food, and they had some, people with the, like, sidewalk sales or sidewalk, what do you call them, sales up and down the streets. It was a lot of fun. And they had traffic moving all around the festival. And I don't know, I couldn't see the overall picture, but I thought they did a good job in Marion, though. It's difficult when you've got your heart of your downtown occupied by a festival to regulate the traffic. But it seemed to go all right. Okay. Now, here comes a call. This could be our, let me see what I get. Press the button here. Good morning. We're on the air.
Phil, I just wanted to let you know Captain White is a little behind schedule, but she will be on her way from the branch here shortly.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so don't give up. The Army is on its way.
Yeah.
Followed by the Marines.
Hey, once again, at 1:15, are we expecting Mr. Brown?
Right now, I'm hoping. It's kind of, no pun intended, it's up in the air right now.
Yeah, is he in town yet?
Yes, he's in town. He's right here. We're talking to the juniors and seniors of high school. High schools around town, around the county, and they're seeing his documentary and questions
wonderful.
And answers.
Hey, that's great. Good experience for the kids.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So something they may not have seen in the history books.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
All right.
So we're all squared away, and Captain Louisa White will be up there, give her maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. And I'm sure there'll be a little bit of overlap with Staff Sergeant Dustin Smith.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
He's... they can be up there and both share the time and share with the audience.
Now, is Dustin coming up live? I mean,
yes. In
person?
Yes, they'll both be there in person.
Oh, both of them. Well,
That's right. You'll be able to talk about the technology and,
all right.
and drones and stuff, and she'll be able to talk about the Army programs and things like that, education.
Very good. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So now you heard the story. I didn't have to repeat it to anybody. You just heard it. Okay. So we'll wait on Louisa and then eventually Dustin Smith will probably be here live in the studio. All right. And Dr. Brown, Harold Brown, that's 1:15 today. He may be here or maybe by phone. Now, Scott has interviewed him in the past, so I might have Scott interview him. Okay, and there's so many things. Everybody's going to be at the big doings tonight at the airport. That's that $50 meal ticket. And this morning, I think that Cameron from Channel 6 was supposed to take a flight in the P-51. I think maybe he did, but the transmission of pictures just didn't work out from that airplane. But I thought that was pretty good, getting a ride in that fighter plane anyhow. Wow. Okay, so Louisa White and Dustin Smith will be in here this morning. Okay. Now, trivia. Back to the Marion Star and Smith. Well, his first name was Smith. What was his last name? The editor of the Marion Star some years back. Now, you'd have to be... you're in your 50s, 60s to remember that. And maybe then you weren't even aware of who the editor was. Okay, so I'll leave that open. And I asked this one other time. The owner of Grohl's Furniture Store in Waldo, it wasn't Mr. Grohl, it was another family. And if you could name the owner... I think he's passed away by now. The former owner, Grohl's is gone. It's something else now, I think. But what was his name? He's quite well known around the area, too. His last name ended with words that would describe a hotel in New York City. that's a crazy clue, isn't it? A hotel in New York City had the same last letters in its name as the owner of Grohl's in Waldo. All right, now, here's another question, you trivia people. There's the Good Times boat that leaves Sandusky. In fact, it left about an hour ago on its daily cruise to Kelly's Island, Put-in Bay, and all around. And he's been doing this for years. And the captain is from Marion. That's the interesting thing. The last time I took a cruise on the Good Times, I saw him there, and he said, Evers. And can you tell me his name? the captain of the Good Times cruise boat or ship that leaves Sandusky every morning around 9:30. Can you tell me the captain from Marion? Yeah. His family once owned a rather large business in Marion. Okay, 740-383-9944. That's our number to call. Okay, do I have another? Yes. Let me see here. How about, let me see. The name of the drugstore that was on, let's see, there's something in there now. Is it that ladies' fashion place? A ladies' clothing is in that store on East Center Street, on the south side of East Center. That store once was a drugstore. Okay, here we go, finally. Okay, caller, good morning.
Yeah, Charlie, that was Bob Dorf that owned Grills.
Yeah, Bob, yeah, like the Waldorf Hotel.
That's right.
Yeah. So what's new with you today?
Well, nothing much today. I haven't gotten up yet.
Oh, well, that's fine. It's kind of nice this morning.
I never did find...
Yeah, have to enjoy it while it's cool.
Never did find anything worth doing before noon.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. Well, hey, have a good day and keep cool.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay.
Take care now.
Bye. All right, yeah. Great. Bob Dorf. Now, I've told this story before, but there's a lot of new listeners. I once had a cruise that I conducted to Alaska.
Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and yeah, so I went on this cruise to Alaska, and two of the people that were on my cruise was Bob Dorf and his wife, and I enjoyed them considerably. Bob Dorf, I think maybe has passed away by now, but he always had a lot of jewelry on, and you know, some gold bracelets and different things. Anyhow, that's not my story. We were in, let me see, what was the name of the town in Alaska? It was one of the places where cruise ships often land. Skagway, that's it, Skagway. And so we walked around together. We needed something to eat, so we walked up to this stand along the city street, and Bob and his wife ordered these salmon, whatever it was, I can't remember. And so they got two of them, one for each. And I was right behind them, and I really didn't know what to order. I said, well, I'll take the same thing they got. And they gave me two sandwiches. They had two. The clerk thought I wanted two also. Oh, my goodness. And they were expensive. Woo, my. Everything in Alaska is expensive. Yeah, and just like Hawaii. Wow. If you go to Hawaii or Alaska, be prepared to spend a lot of money for food and anything else you want to buy. Now, when that same trip to Alaska, I thought I didn't have that much money to spend on anything. And so we docked at, where was it? The first place we came to in Alaska where the ship tied up and said, now, we'll depart from here in so many hours. And so, well, I thought that doesn't give too much time to go around shopping. So you know what I did? I went to a church rummage sale, you might say, where they had all kinds of odds and ends, you know, like a little flea market with by members of this church. And so I bought some tuna hooks, hooks used for to catch tuna. And I something else there. Oh, I know. I bought a couple of feet from a ptarmigan, which I'm sure must have been illegal for anyone to shoot that bird, or the ptarmigan, you know, might be a protected species. But anyhow, I bought this stuff, and I haven't seen it since. I, you know, put it away, especially that big tuna hook. But it was cheap, really cheap, so I got some souvenirs at a very, very low price. Alaska is full of mosquitoes, too. Huge mosquitoes. And playfully, they call it their state bird, the mosquito. There's also worms in the glaciers. That's right. There's little holes in the glacier, and in those holes, you'll find worms. Now, where they come from, I would have no idea. You know, a glacier that's 1,000 feet tall or so, and massive, and got worms in it. Well, I didn't know that when I took a chunk of glacier to eat it. I thought this would be something to take a piece of a glacier and eat it. And glacial ice, since it's so old and has been compacted for maybe thousands of years, you can hardly crunch it. And but I did. I ate a piece of the Portage Glacier in Alaska without worms. 7403-399-44 is our number to call. Have you had any experiences you'd like to relate? I'm always open for that, too. I'm not the only one that's had experiences. And if you've got similar, why, give me a call. Okay, now our next question is, well, still, name the captain of the Good Times boat. He's from Marion, and he's in the water right now heading toward Kelly's Island. And name the editor of the Marion Star back in another era after Jack Maxwell left. This other man was appointed. His first name was Smith. What was his last name? And I thought that was so unusual. A man with his first name is Smith. Usually that's the last name. Okay. Now, what else can I ask you? Who was the man who managed to revitalize Linkin Park? He did this with a lot of remnants of curbs that were taken out and other things, and had them piled up over, well, and to all the soil, and had this big hill built in Linkin Park, which kids sled ride on now. And it was I named it Morbitt's Hill. Well, that there, I just gave you my answer to my question. Morbitt, Charlie Morbitt. That was he was the father of the other Morbitt that ran a restaurant in Marion. Charlie Morbitt was a good guy, and when everything was completed, the two of us rode down that big hill of his on a toboggan. Wow, that was something. Okay, can you, well, you don't need to name that man now since I did. Let me see who else. Yeah, there was a man, and I've asked this before, a man who had a store in Marion, and in the front of that store had a Whizzer motorbike. And I don't know how many years it was there. I often wonder where it got to when the store was closed. A Whizzer motorbike. Now, what store was that? Where would you have found a Whizzer motorbike? Another trivia question. I started to talk about it. The drugstore that used to be now where the ladies' apparel place is. It was once a drugstore, and in that drugstore had this beautiful back bar, they're called. And Charlton Myers got that, and he had it out in his barn for a long time. And then he gave it to the Marion County Historical Society, and so you'll see it on the main floor of the Historical Society, a beautiful back bar. Back bars are generally the name given to the bar in a saloon, and some of them were very fancy because the saloon keeper usually had enough money to invest in a beautiful outfit. All right, so we're kind of slow in getting answers here today, although I do appreciate we did get Bob Dorf, the owner, the previous owner of Grohl's Furniture Store. Okay, let me look here. What else can I ask you? Oh, the name of that restaurant, well, and bar, I would think it was more famous for the bar part, that burned to the ground some years ago. It was on Main Street. Can you name that bar? Now, it was other things after the original name, of course. Can you give me the name of it? Starts with the letter P. Okay, and I've got to give away. I've got tickets to the Wilds, tickets to the Columbus Zoo, and I have a oil change at Bill Huntsman. Oh, here we have a caller. All right, just a second here. Good morning, caller.
Was the drugstore Ungerreiter's?
No, it wasn't. No, it started with the letter A.
Okay.
Think about it. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, there's been a lot of drugstores. There's been a lot of service stations, too. And they got the name service by exactly what they did. You pulled your car in. You younger people would never experienced it. Oh, here's a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Was the bar Portofino?
Yes, it was the Portofino. Yes, indeed. Quite a famous bar in Marion. Okay, now, what kind of prize would you like today?
The zoo tickets.
The zoo tickets. Okay, and what is your name?
Patricia Franklin.
Okay, Patricia Franklin. Okay, let me write that down here. Okay, you know where we're located, Patricia?
Yes, downtown on the corner there.
Yes, on the corner, on the second floor.
Okay, second floor.
Yeah, okay, you come up in an elevator.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
What days of the week can you pick them up?
Oh, that's right. We're Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
8 to 1. Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right. Now, our guests today, oh boy, great. All right, have seats. Yeah, we've got the military here. Boy, oh boy. And I tell you, there's nothing better looking than the uniforms. Wow. Now, I have a grandson that's in the Marines, and I've seen him only once in his dress uniform. Now, you're Marines?
United States Army, sir.
The Army?
Yes, sir.
Okay, both of you?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, your name?
Sergeant First Class Vallone.
Okay, Malone, and you're...
Captain White?
Yes, Captain White.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Captain White, what do you have to do with the Black Hawk helicopter?
Oh, so the United States Army were bringing in a Black Hawk helicopter from Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Really? All the way?
All the way from Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Wow, I was in Fort Knox once. I flew down with the National Guard once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an experience to see the tanks and everything down there.
Yes.
Yeah, and who was it? The two white-handled pistols of that General Patton? I think they're at Fort Knox.
Yeah, so
and a bunch of tanks.
Yes. So the helicopter that's coming from Fort Knox, it's a medevac helicopter.
Really?
Yeah. So if someone gets wounded in an overseas area, they pick up that personnel, they provide aid, and then bring them to a medical treatment facility.
Oh, great. All right. And, yeah. So coming up all the way from Fort Knox.
Yes, sir. It'll arrive tonight around 4 o'clock p.m.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there probably to see that. That's great. Black Hawk, that's quite an infamous helicopter.
Yes.
Is that the type it would be in the movie?
Oh, in Black Hawk Down?
Yeah, right.
Yes, that is the helicopter that's in Black Hawk Down.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
It's mainly used for dropping troops in from low elevation, usually about 100 to 200 feet. They can rope in anywhere on top of buildings in the middle of streets.
Really?
It's used for transporting soldiers, airmen, everything. But this specific one that's coming from Fort Knox is used for medevac purposes. They pull wounded soldiers, wounded Marines out of the battlefield.
Wow, that's interesting. They were used quite a bit in Vietnam then, or is that behind their time?
Might be a little behind. I'm not.
They're more like the mid or the what do you call the war zones, like in Iraq and around that area.
Yes, that Desert Storm, and into the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Yes.
Okay. Oh, so now, what connection do you have then with the Black Hawk?
So we typically put in requests. We call them air movement requests.
Oh, really?
Yes, and we have operation cells within the military that we do that. So it's like admin purposes. However, come to find out, the platoon leader for that particular aircraft, I went to college with him. We were both alumni. We did the ROTC program.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. What was I going to say? We were supposed to have some Ospreys, but that topic will come up later.
Yeah, that's what the United States Marine Corps.
Yeah, that was Marines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He should be coming in, I guess, here in a little bit to talk with you.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. Boy, you two look so great. And you'll be at the gathering tonight, I take it?
Yes, we will.
Oh, that's good. What great representatives. This is going to be impressive. Will you be around then tomorrow, too?
Yes, as a part of the Marion Recruiting Station, we have an avionics mechanic who will be there as well. The helicopter comes with two pilots.
Ted, did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a Chicken Places number?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with our guests this morning. It's really nice to have people live on the air. Louisa White, and also we have Vincent Ballone. Okay, and they're U.S.
Army.
Yes. Okay. Because your uniforms would, look so much like Marines and other officers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And both of you have a lot of ribbons. Now, Louisa, have you been to acquire all those ribbons?
Oh, well, most of my ribbons come on behalf of the soldiers that I lead. That's what an officer does. We lead soldiers. So the ribbons I've gotten, they've come from Fort Carson, Colorado, where I was stationed first, and then in Korea, where I was in the last 2.5 years before I became a part of the Marion community.
Okay. So in Korea, was it hard to get along with the language and so forth when you're in service in a foreign country like that?
No, so our allies, they actually speak a lot of English. If you can go over to Korea and find your way around, just like personnel who go over to Japan, you can have a great time over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In contrast, you go to Hawaii and all the signs are Japanese. Yeah. Oh boy. So Sergeant, yes. Yep. What is your whole role? You're a recruiter.
I run the Marion recruiting station right downstairs here. I've been here just over a year now. I've been all over the place, anywhere from New York to North Carolina to Iraq a couple times. So, a lot of experience. I've been in 12 years now.
Been doing recruiting for about 4.5 of it. So, but yeah, I'm currently located here as a station commander in Marion.
Well, great. Okay. And I was, when my grandson was shipped out to get his basic training, I was with a group of other recruits down at a hotel in Columbus. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to see their reaction to what they were, about to do. And they were all happy and raring to go. And that's good to see. And now you do some training here, basic exercises and things for potential recruits?
We do. We have a future soldier program. So if you do decide to join the Army, you will go into our future soldier program, in which Captain White is overall in charge of that program. But we do future soldier training weekly with the people that are waiting to ship to basic training.
Right.
Typically every Thursday. We try to change the locations up to make it fun, do different things so it's not the same redundant thing every single week. But yes, we do try to prepare them as much as we can for basic training.
Well, that's good, yeah. And now, basic training in your branch of service, is it highly intense, like the Marines?
It will challenge a normal person. I truly like to chalk basic training up as more 70% mental and 30% physical. If you can deal with, going to a different environment that you're not used to and, succeeding, then you're going to be okay. And you're going to have to push that other 30% is that physical aspect of it where you're going to have to push yourself to, normal exercise that you're not typically, doing
yes.
back here. But yes, I would find it challenging for a normal person, but it's very obtainable to pass. Basic training is not set up for you to fail. It's set up for you to pass.
It's interesting, too, because today our lifestyle tends to make people a little overweight, I might say. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is causing deterioration of health from a lot of people, but in service, that becomes, they're trained, and you won't find many overweight persons in service, right? Not too many.
No, so I've gotten personnel that come straight from AIT and basic training. So it's you have to pass by 60% from basic training.
Yes.
And so when you come to your first unit, that's where the 70% is. We get you that last 10% once you're integrated into unit, and then you maintain that. And we maintain the standards of fitness and appearance within the United States military, the Army specifically. We are changing up how we test that. It's called the Army Combat Fitness Test. So it'll be a 6-event test rather than the 3-event, which has been, 20 years that we've been doing it with the push-up, sit-ups. You'll still do the 2-mile run, yeah. But you'll do actual practical things that you're going to be required to do while you're in service.
So what's the first position for a recruit? Is it determined before they become active or finish training that they're, what they're going to be assigned to?
Their job?
Yes. Their job.
The Army is actually the only branch that has a system, and nobody really cares what the system's called, but it's called FSR2. It's a Future Soldier Remote Reservation System where you can actually choose your career field before you join the Army. So you will not raise your hand and join the Army without picking a job of your choice. Obviously, that is based off your overall ASVAB score.
Yeah.
But you have the say, you have the choice of your position. So if you want to be a military policeman, you choose military police. If you want to be an aviation mechanic, you choose aviation mechanic.
Oh, interesting. Louisa, now you're in military police, too?
Yes, I'm a military police officer.
Well, what do you do in that role?
Well, it's a little different. So enlisted versus an officer. So enlisted, the 31 series, you can be a Bravo, a Kilo, an Echo, where you work specifically on the road, in the internment resettlement facilities, the correctional facilities that we have in the military, or you can work with the K-9 dogs and do that. As an officer, I lead troops. So I'll be a platoon leader. That's my first key development position. My broadening assignments, I will plan the force protection for services and facilities for U.S. installations. I'll work with the DES and civilian entities for patrolling, for how many people we need on the roads and the gates to protect those installations. If I were in a deployed environment, I would advise the higher commander as to what he needs to do to maintain the force posture of the U.S. forces that are helping to protect our nation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, I told you I have a grandson in the Air Force, but I have another grandson in the Marines, and his job is in security and nuclear security up in the state of Washington. So there's all kinds of jobs and job descriptions.
Yeah, we have 165 different jobs in the Army.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. Now, you'll be able to talk to young people here tomorrow, mm-hmm. well, tonight, if you see any, but you'll be able to give them some good guidelines, and maybe you'll recruit some young people, I hope.
So we provide opportunities, so it's not just us finding someone and being like, this is the best for you. Yeah. I mean, what do you plan to do?
It's not like you had a goal of so many to sign up. You really get into it, I mean, as to what they would like to do.
We like to provide for the community. That's what we're doing. We're providing for we're providing you a future. We're providing you a career. If you just want to go to school, we can provide you tuition assistance so that you can do school and be in the reserve, so you can do part-time being in the military and then go to school at the same time.
Okay. So now when the young people see both of you tomorrow, you'll be in full dress?
Tomorrow.
Probably not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow, because we'll be in the field, and so you don't wear the dress uniform.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll be in more of our fatigues.
Okay. Yeah. Now, will people be able to see the inside of the Black Hawk?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Good.
And there'll be the crew, which is the two flight operators, the mechanic, and the medical specialist. They'll be there, and they'll be able to instruct them how they operate the actual bird, as you will, how you do medical operations, and you can even ask the medic there what he does in support of, because the medics, they have to go through a boatload of certifications to maintain their service.
No kidding, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can imagine now, in combat, and you're picking up wounded, is that helicopter also fully armed?
It has, typically they have door gunners.
Okay.
Meaning they'll have a couple weapons on the side of both doors and have two individuals or two soldiers that are assigned to those weapon systems. Just, they're not, Black Hawks are typically not used for direct combat.
Yeah, right.
But obviously if they get into a situation, they do have the capability to protect themselves.
That's good. How many of the wounded can you haul at one time?
That's a question that you're gonna definitely have to ask the crew there at the okay. But I know I've been in, I've jumped out of Black Hawks, I've rappelled out of Black Hawks, and I've seen upwards of 8 people in it jumping out of them.
Okay, so let's see, we've got a few minutes, 4 minutes left. A Black Hawk, what's so different about the Black Hawk other than the standard helicopter?
Once again, I'm not quite in the aviation field, so I don't want to give any wrong answers. But the Black Hawk is known for basically transport.
Yeah.
You know, getting someone in and out safely. It's a very fast helicopter.
Rather fast.
It is a faster helicopter rather than like the Chinook. The Chinook is one with the two blades on it or the two propellers.
Oh, yeah,
on
the big one.
That's for transport as well, but they're slower, obviously.
Yeah. Yes.
Black Hawks are known to come in, swoop in, do what they need to do, and then get back out.
Okay. It takes a lot of training.
Lots of training, yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, boy, I can hardly wait to... I'll be there tonight, too. We're going to have some great food.
Oh, yeah. I saw baklava on the menu.
So. Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. Baklava, yeah. And some other Greek items, as well as items from all over.
Mm-hmm.
It should really be good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're hoping, I think, over 100 people should be there.
Wow.
And the crew themselves, they will be there. So if any personnel in attendance, they can see the Black Hawk actually land and then ask them questions if they really want to.
Now, what time do you think the Black Hawk will be coming in?
I talked to them, and they said around 4 p.m. tonight is when they should land.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And are they kind of loud? I mean, will they make an impression as they fly over Marion? will people realize?
They probably won't be flying too low over Marion. Okay. But it, I mean, it is a, you know, it's a pretty intimidating helicopter to be around.
Yeah.
When it's going full power.
Okay. But now the one that's right, you say they have the door guards, of course, the armored guys that,
yes,
that their job is to protect the contents of that helicopter,
mm-hmm,
and take off and landing and whatever. Yeah, that's great. And they're probably pretty loud.
Yes, the Black Hawk is pretty loud.
Yeah.
It's not as loud as like the Chinook is, obviously. The Chinook is a very loud helicopter, but yes, it'll make an impression when it lands. That's,
well, that's
for sure.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to show our military too. That's, mm-hmm, you know, because of me having two grandsons in the military, I come to realize, you know, and I do a lot of public speaking for years and years, and I've always encouraged young people to inquire about service in the military, because they know, you know, they're secure, and if they really want to get ahead, they can do it, and there's so much provided to them.
Mm-hmm. All we ask is that you ask us the question, what do you want to do, and how can we help you with that?
The information is free.
Yeah. Right, that's good. Boy. So, Louisa, how long have you been in service now?
About 8 years, sir.
8 years already?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, your ribbons describe what?
The tours that the United States has been in,
okay,
me being in Korea itself. You get various awards, AAMs, ARCOMs, commendation medals, MSMs for what you perform.
We're about out of time. It's a shame. Your first name again?
Vincent.
See, when you get 80-some years old...
It's understandable. It's a difficult... It's not a typical name either.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's good. And Louisa White. And you'll see them tonight. That's for sure.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we'll be back. Let's see. We got about 10 seconds to go in this program.
You're listening to WWTH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For 107-year-old viral video sensation Virginia McLaurin on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama.
You said now you'd be able to die happy. Why did that mean so much?
Well, you see, I'm 106, and this is my wish. I always wish that would happen. I wish I would have a part of it. And I could go to heaven and tell my Lord about it.